Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again. Fuck the Crab Feast.
The Crab Feast for that ass. I almost blacked out of that one. That's the closest I've ever come to having.
Because usually you've been lasting longer than me, and I look, I'm like, where is he? I'm like, oh, there he is. He's all right. We almost lost him, man.
Woo! Good to touch your pitch and see you, J. Larson.
Oh, great to have my pitch touched by you, Sickle Celsies. Feaster Nation, L to the T, J. Larson, J. Larson Comedy over here on the twos. You got Sickle on the ones. God, it's good to be here, man.
It is so nice to be here.
I feel like it's been a minute.
It has been a minute.
Want to give a shout out to the Crab Feast fans that came out to the shows in Nashville. So funny. We had two shows, Crab Feast fans at both. And during the second one, I start making fun of this guy in the front row, just like kind of getting at him. And he's being a good sport about it. And then, like I said, I made some kind of comment, and then I can hear him. He's right there, and he goes, fuck the crap. He goes, hey, playa. And I was just like, I felt so bad. I'm like, oh, man.
Right up front to see you.
Right up front. Great guy. We're in big plaid, baby. We're in them big plaids. Nothing really. I mean, there are dates, but I've talked about them. I just want to take the night and appreciate you guys for all your support. And having everyone out in Nashville was nice. And then Bridgetown. We'll be at Bridgetown next week. So, I mean, you know, Bridgetown. Doing shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Sickle. Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, RyanSickler.com. As Jay mentioned, live Crab Feast podcast on June 4th at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival, June 4th. Also, Crab Feast stand-up.
Should we tell our guests for that show?
Yeah, let's go ahead and announce it.
Greg Barron and Lance
Bangs.
Lance Bangs.
That's fantastic.
Two great guests. Those are going to be some great guests. I'm excited about that.
We also have our Crab Feast stand-up show Tuesday, June 7th at the Comedy Store.
Mike Koss is going to be there. Greg Fitzsimmons is going to be there. And we're going to have some other great guests as well.
As always, $5. Come out, laugh, have some fun. Tickets for all those shows you can get on RyanSickler.com or TheCrabFeast.com. Merch. We're in the middle of getting some new stuff.
Yeah, we're getting
done
some
with the
new
merch.
Stuff. So merch is on hiatus for a minute, guys.
You see the store down. We're getting some, we're reworking some stuff.
Under repair, y'all.
Under repair. We're going to have some new stuff launching here for you, too. Amazon, as always, a heartfelt thank you for everything you do on the Amazon, the premium episodes, and then the love on the Facebook fan page and the iTunes page.
And a little announcement, something we're going to do is we are on the hunt for state representatives, okay? We got them in politics. It's a political season right now.
Political.
So what we want to do is we want to get anyone out there interested in, like, you know, having a fan page set up for your state or your city. Hit us up at the email address. We're going to be making a post on Facebook tomorrow or today. And you know, we want to hear from you. People that want to get involved and do some things. We got some ideas how we can hopefully get out to other parts of the country instead of just hearing us through the headphones. Hopefully you can see us live, and setting up some state reps would be a great way to do that. And there'll be some benefits from being a state rep, you know, like everyone else is on the take in this country, in the political world. So something to look out for. You know what I was looking out for on my trip to Nashville? Thank God I had it. Textured.com.
I'll bet.
You know why? I told you this. I've said this 100 times. I'm always buying magazines because I love magazines and I love to spend money because I need something to make me feel good inside. So this time I didn't. I just used Textured.com and I always get Sunset Magazine. And right now they're doing
a whole
thing.
Sunset.
I love it, dude. It's the best magazine. But they're doing a whole thing on like outdoor cooking, you know, like we do fires out in the backyard all the time in the fire pit. I'm like, oh man, I want to cook on that. And they had this article, and you know what I was relieved to know? The way that I build fires is how they suggest to build the fire if you're going to cook. You know how that is?
TP it
and then log cabin around it, bro. That's how to get the most even. Well, obviously you didn't. You just said TP. And if you're wondering what's texture.com all about, basically, since everyone binges on Netflix and all they do is go through boom, 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 Texture is like Netflix for magazines. So basically, any magazine you want, you go to texture.com, it's there. I mean, they have everything. There's so many magazines, and it's right there. The beauty is, though, they can link you from one magazine to another magazine just based on the article you're reading. So I was reading about summer camping. That can link right over to like an outdoor magazine about camping, which can link back to, you know, anything in regards to canoeing, and it just can, it will go on and on. And they have live links. You know what I mean? You can't, your magazine doesn't show you videos, but at texture.com, boom, it's just going to turn into a video that coincides with whatever article you're reading. The Texture app lets you tab into the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere using your smartphone or tablet. Breeze through hundreds of your favorite magazines, including back issues. Which, how you've said that before, how cool that is. You can just go to a back issue and pick the articles that interest you the most. Texture has made it easy to find articles you care about. And listen, we don't care what you read. The Texture editorial team recommends content for you every day. Plus, you can dive deeper with personalized collections. Sign up for Texture right now and gain insider access to all the content from the world's best publications. Best part, Texture is offering our listeners a free trial right now when you go to texture.com/crabfeast. You'll gain immediate entry to all of the top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content, like I mentioned. Start binge reading for free right now when you go to texture.com/crabfeast. texture.com/crabfeast.
Yeah, they're great. You know who else is great is Touch of Modern.
T-O-M.
And let's just bring it up now so you guys don't mess up. We tell you about Mother's Day. Well, Father's Day is coming up. It's right around the corner. And right now, you can get the perfect gift for all the guys in your life at touchofmodern.com. I don't know about you guys, but I know I am difficult to buy for. Even for myself, I buy shit and take it back all the time. And you don't want to just get someone a generic tie that they're not going to use, or another pair of socks, or break the bank either. So you can give dad something for Father's Day this year that he'll love. Go to touchofmodern.com right now. Great site for gifts for dad or yourself. Let's not forget about you too, play. Timeless and unique products. Every time you go to the site, it's like being a kid in a candy store. I go down so many rabbit holes and check all this stuff out. It's all at unbeatable pricing. They have jaw-dropping tech gadgets and gear. Home brewing kits and premium steaks. That's what I'm talking about.
Food, I mean, come on.
Steaks. It's not just gadgets and watches and things like that. It is also that. And they do have vintage watches, tactical gear and rugged tools, plus men's fashion and accessories, sure to get noticed.
The fact that they have vintage watches lets you know that it's being curated by someone. This isn't just like a computer program putting stuff out there. It's always changing.
That's right. With new sales literally launching every day, touchofmodern.com is the one website to discover and elevate your lifestyle in a single click. Right now, our listeners can get immediate access to these deals when you sign up at touchofmodern.com. That's touchofmodern.com. Do it today because tomorrow it'll be different. That's how life rolls in the fast lane.
Well, this guy is in the fast lane for sure. Fast lane to success. love this guy to death. One of the funniest crowd comics I've ever seen, ever known. Please welcome for the first time to the Crab Feast, Mr. Rick Ingram, everybody.
Rick, welcome to the Crab Feast. Rick.
Yes.
Feels good.
It's good to be in here.
Start
huh?
with an applause break. That's the way I like to do it.
Dude, I'll take an applause break anywhere I can get it.
I'll take it wherever I can get it. When I did Todd Glass's podcast, they did this thing. You've done it, right?
I've never done it, no.
So you remember where he records in the studio above yeah. the classic car, Smoking the Bandit car and all that down there. So he's like, they do all this recording first. And he's like, okay, now we're going to do your introduction. You have the option of sitting right here and us just introducing you at the table, or, and there's a stairwell over there, he goes, or of us announcing you in. And I was like, if I've got the option to either sit here or be announced in, I'm coming in. They're like, that's what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
big time.
So I went, he's like, you just go over there in the corner, but the stairwell's right there. I was like, no, I'm going to appear. I'm not just going to be standing there waiting. When you call my name, I'm coming up the steps. Best way to go, man.
Epic intro.
I wish we had that for you, but
that's all right.
We pitch touch,
it's like,
man.
It's floating in, man. It's like floating in.
You bring you right on in. So glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Why don't you, before we get into it, why don't you tell everyone anything you'd like them to know about you? Social media,
you're on
and all
Twitter,
that,
Instagram,
yeah.
all that.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. It's at Rick Ingram. Ingram spelled Ingraham, so Ingraham.
Cool. And I'm on Facebook too. And I'm like old people. I'm on Facebook probably more.
Yeah.
For the, you know, the parents' generation.
Yeah,
they really
I know
dig
that
my
deal.
Stuff.
You knew Crush that Sebastian, man. He's all over Facebook, you know?
Yeah.
What's the deal? No, there was no other Rick Ingram when you tried to get it on Twitter?
Yeah, no other Rick Ingram. There's a few other Rick Ingrams that I know about. One of them was my dad's cousin, and he's a dead heroin addict. So he's not on there.
Nah, he's out of there.
And when I met
what
that
if there's
guy,
like a remembrance page to him?
That would be nice.
You said he's a dead heroin addict.
Yeah.
And once you're dead, you're just dead. He's dead.
That's
he
true.
Was.
He. I think he addict. Might have done enough heroin that it's still in the system. It's very possible.
The dirt's fucked up.
I met the dude one time, and I thought he was my dad's uncle. That's how haggard the dude was. And then my dad was like, he's a year older than me. I was like, shut up.
He's your uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did he just do?
A year.
What was he doing? Heroin?
Yeah, he was a serious drug addict, but I know it peaked with heroin addiction.
That was his peak.
Yeah.
Jeez, was he like a war vet or something like that?
No. As far as I know, he was just a dude that lived in Oklahoma and just tried to take it to the limit as much as he could.
Man.
Yeah.
That was your dad's bro?
That was my dad's cousin.
Dad's cousin.
Yeah.
Whew.
So I had to sit. They made us sit next to each other at like a family gathering at a family, not really a family reunion, but we were in Tulsa and my brother was getting married. It was like a whatever. We were meeting her family.
Oh, okay. So it was like an engagement party
yeah,
kind of thing?
Correct.
Yeah.
And since my dad was in town, a bunch of his family lived down there. So we met up with them for brunch.
Got it.
And they were like, hey, we should have the Rick Ingram sit together.
The Rick Ingram. That's a band, man.
Rick Ingram.
I was like, all right. And this dude, he was so haggard. It was beautiful. Just the grumpiest, surliest dude ever.
And how old at this point is he? 30s?
I know. This is probably 9 or 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And so he was probably mid-50s at the time.
Man, but that's a long life for a drug addict.
But he looked like he was easily 80 years old. Like,
80.
I truly thought it was my grandfather's brother.
Somebody help brother. Me the other Rick Ingram in here. Somebody help him out, man.
Yeah.
This guy's only 52, man.
He just kept saying, like,
well, so what's the, I know you're part Swedish from your family, but what's the other part?
I'd be, Irish.
Like, oh, disgusting.
I'd be like, Jesus.
Oh, my God. It was like literally like, let's get to know each other at this family thing.
Yeah. And I could truly feel that I did not live up to being a Rick Ingram in his mind. Like,
all you had to do was stay off heroin.
That's it. And I could top him, but.
Not in Rick's mind. That other Rick was like, you want to go do a bump?
Yeah.
You're like, nah.
You got to do 2 or 3 syringes to impress me with this weaker Rick Ingram.
Did he work?
Not that I know of. I really don't. I don't know too much about him other than that experience.
How do you get to your 50s as a drug addict?
Heroin.
Yeah.
Well, that was his peak, Rick said.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
he was probably casual, just coking it up.
Right. Yeah, he was probably full Belushi speedballing at some point.
Yeah,
he was a special guy. He kept telling me all sorts of terrible street jokes.
I
was like, I was a young comedian at the time, and it was,
well, why do they keep a bucket of shit at a wedding?
And you'd be like, I don't know why. Keep the
flies off the bride.
What?
My God. That's the worst joke.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
I mean, is there anything worse in the world than someone finding out you're a comedian and start throwing street jokes at you? Like
especially a heroin addict. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What's real in your world?
Yeah.
Or especially someone you've never met before as a family member. That's just awkward. I mean, I honestly, it gave me a little anxiety when you, because I've been in those family situations when I just go to family events. My mother's like, Teresa. And I'm like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, or whoever. Yeah. Like, oh, there's so many people. You're like, I want to be like to my mom. Like, you never brought them around when we were kids. What makes you think all of a sudden now I'm supposed to buddy up?
Yeah. And then the drug addicts. His brother lives out in L.A., and he's like an immigration lawyer or something. This is my dad's other cousin, and I met him at my brother's wedding, and then he came up to me, I understand you live in L.A., and we got to get together and work on a screenplay about my life. And I'm just like, oh, no.
Oh, God.
Fuck you. What's his
I'm
life?
Already doing one with Rick.
Yeah, look, we're doing two Rick Ingrams. Yeah. It's a two-man show.
I'm the pre-drug.
It's a bromance.
He's the post.
Wait a minute. What's his life? What was his so great about his life? Is he a drug addict too?
He probably did drugs. He definitely wasn't as messed up as the other Rick Ingram, but he's been married to a bunch of immigrants, strangely, as an immigration lawyer.
Oh, my God. And
a bunch. Yeah. What would you say is a bunch?
I think like three or four.
All right. That's a bunch. That's a bunch we talk about marriage.
His big sell on the screenplay that we were going to write and sell together was that he was married to a Italian girl and lived in a place with her and her sister who came here and then divorced that one and then married the sister and just really thought, that thing was ripe for Hollywood.
Listen, I'm going to be straight up with you. If you don't write this with him, give me his number.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do or say. It was just one of those things where I'm like, okay, I mean.
I know you're in development right now on my two Rick Ingrams.
The other Rick Ingram.
I'm exclusive with
I'm telling you right
one
now.
Of my dad's cousins.
Who you're raising. What is it about family? You can never see these people, and all of a sudden, this dude's all up in your shit about being Irish, and the other one's like, hey, you should come write my life story.
And as far as I know, I'd never met either one of them before these conversations. The one who was an immigration lawyer, he probably still is, I guess. I think he's
You never connected with him out here?
No. I think he's married to like a Chinese lady now. But he like stalked my, I guess it would have been my MySpace page back then, or Facebook, whichever it was. And, hey, I saw you like Hunter S. Thompson. I was like, yeah. And he's like, that's pretty cool. And I'm like, oh, great. Now here comes the rest of this little throwdown. And I believe my dad or one of my other relatives walked up at that point, and you could tell he just shut it down. Like, well, no, I can't. Now I can't say all the stuff I was going to tell this lunatic.
Liz, if you're looking to wife up a chick from Bangladesh, hit me up. I'll help you out with that.
Wife up a chick.
I think that's the appropriate verbiage.
I like that. I never heard that.
The Bangladeshi chicks are definitely...
Oh, man.
If you're going for immigrant wives.
Yeah.
That's the route?
I've got a baker's dozen Bangladesh at home.
He probably does.
Baker's dozen.
13 beautiful foreign brides.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, are you close with your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah? And are you brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I got an older brother and three younger sisters.
Wow, five of you guys?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Full Midwestern.
Yeah.
We got all this room. We might as well use it.
You're from Kansas City?
Yeah.
And your parents still together?
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
Yep.
So wait a minute. What do they all think about the fact that you moved to L.A. to be a comedian?
Oh, they're cool with it. My family's, they're like the bizarre liberal family in the middle of the conservative suburbs. So.
Gotcha.
I wasn't really raised with religion or anything. Our religion was basically watching The Simpsons and Saturday Night Live together. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, we were the cool family where my more conservative family friends would come over and we could watch rated R movies. And
they loved being at your place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course.
It was totally the escape for everyone. Like, let's just go hang out there. And so I never had to go anywhere. We just
the
hang
other
out
gang was like, man, I do everything. Please. Just let me sleep in a crawl space.
You know what?
Let's
care.
Just bring him in. Right.
Hey, the Rick Ingram, get your hands in here!
Oh, man. It would be so creepy if he walked through that door.
He'd probably crawl on hair on.
We brought
hair on.
Brought him back like Jon Snow, man.
Sweet. That would be a beautiful situation. Now I'd love to spend some time with him now that it's too late.
Was there a lot of drugs in your family?
No, not really. It was
Rick had them all.
Yeah.
Did nobody else pretty did much, get them?
And then he passed on the tradition to yours truly.
I had uncles and stuff that I know probably partied pretty hard, yeah. But there wasn't really ever any issues. We had some alcoholics in the family.
Yeah.
That kind of good stuff.
But. We had one too. I remember when I was like,
everybody has
fifth grade. Yeah. Being at like a family party and Uncle Tom all tatted up. I mean, he was an older dude. You know, I'm in fifth. Man, I was five. I wasn't in fifth grade. I was young. And he starts arm wrestling me. And I was like, holy shit, this guy's for real. I'm like, is he going to let me win?
Nah.
Slammed my hand down. He's like, ah, goddamn. I was like scared, you know? That uncle.
You weren't going to make him look like a fool in front of everybody.
Exactly.
I'm not losing to a 5-year old.
Get fucked up.
Yeah, they. I remember we found my Uncle Rich's bag of weed once at like a Christmas gathering. He was in town from, I think he lived in Steamboat, Colorado at that point.
Ah, great place.
And we didn't even realize what it was. We just found it. And we were like, what is this? Of course, digging through his shit, me and my cousin and my brother.
What you do?
And we found it. And then a little later, he came downstairs. And we were like, hey, what's this? And he's like,
well, let's not talk about this at all.
At all.
Yeah. And, I have since, as I grew up, me and him have partied a little bit together.
Oh, really?
And that was pretty fun.
Is that your dad's brother?
That's my mom's brother. Rich O'Brien, living legend.
Is he?
Yeah.
He sure is still living.
Rich O'Brien! Bitch, bring that bag of weed.
Yeah, I'm sure he still parties. He was pretty disappointed when he found out that I quit. So,
oh really?
Yeah, it was just like, what?
Why'd you do that?
I'm like, well, I just, you know, I needed to try and achieve anything with my life.
Yeah. Wait. So, how did you start partying with him?
Yeah, and what were you doing that you had to quit?
I just quit because I had basically achieved nothing for several years, and I was like, man, I should probably
quit. What, drinking?
I quit drinking when I got sick with the beatus.
Okay.
And,
we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Sup, beaties!
And then I quit smoking pot like 3 years ago, mm-hmm. something like that. It was just kind of one of those decisions that I was like, I just need to do this and see if it helps. And it didn't improve my life. It was, one of those things
It's improved it enough that you stayed off of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Rick Ingram disease. I can't just do something half-assed.
Yeah.
I got to take it to the limit.
Take it to the limit.
If I'm smoking pot, I'm going to do it all the time. So
I see.
Did you smoke butts ever?
Cigarettes?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I smoked for like 7 or 8 years in my 20s.
See, I was the same. That was me with cigarettes. It was either a pack a day or none.
Yeah.
People are like, you can't just have one. Like when I see people, they're like, yeah, I smoke like five on a weekend.
Yeah, if I'm drinking over the weekend. I probably smoked half a pack a day at my peak.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I was pretty much a pothead at that point.
Yeah. And then so tell us, diabetes puts a wrench in a lot of things, doesn't it?
Yeah, it ruined a lot of the fun.
I didn't know that you had diabetes until one night. Do you remember?
We're at the factory.
Yeah, at the Laugh Factory, yeah. And Rick's in the corner upstairs. Fucking giving himself a needle. I'm like, shit, Rick Jesus Ingram Christ. Is on heroin. Yeah,
both ringing, Rick
both
Ingram
finally.
Yeah, when I met the other Rick Ingram, I didn't know I had it then. I could have really hooked him up.
Oh, man, you could have really
get you a deal on needles.
No right more now. No more of the dirty same needle you've been using for 15 years.
How does that happen? How do you find – how old were you?
I started having some symptoms in my late 20s, and I was basically just like tremendously sick all the time.
But nothing up until then?
Yeah, and I never had any issues until then.
When you say sick, what type of sick?
I started having really bad stomach problems in probably when I was like 27-ish. And I'd throw up every once in a while. And I just kind of, because I drank a lot then too, I was like, yeah, it's probably just hungover or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I would not drink for a while and then I'd still get sick. And then over the next couple of years, it progressed to the point where I was like.
Years?
Yeah.
Damn. So how often do you think you're getting sick? Once a week?
I was throwing up probably 5 to 8 times a week.
Oh, my God.
Damn, and you didn't go to a doctor?
No, I did.
Oh.
I went to doctors, but.
They're like, keep on partying, bro.
just cut your drink back a little bit.
What I did,
you
no
drink at 12?
No one told me. No one told me that doctors basically know the one thing that they specialize in, And other than that, they're basically as good as, you know, WebMD.
Look, man, I don't know about diabetes, but you got a perfect arch. All right, good luck with it.
Can you dunk?
Worst trip to the podiatrist of all time. So yeah,
I just gave me a clean bill of health. I don't know what the fuck.
He said I'm good. Can't explain why I'm throwing up. So I didn't have health insurance because I was a struggling comic. I had a crap day job, and I went and saw a couple specialists, and costing me tons of money I didn't have, and basically bankrupting myself. And they diagnosed me with a bunch of ridiculous things.
Like what?
I went to a gastrointestinologist who was supposed to specialize in stomachs and intestines and all that stuff. Yeah. And he told me I had intestinal migraines and severe acid reflux. And so I was just like,
oh. Severe acid reflux to the point it's throwing up. That's
like
your
projectile.
Reflux.
God. He tells me this, and it was one of those things where it's like,
yeah, he's got a belly button migraine. That's all it is.
That's it, man.
Some baby aspirin.
I think in the 80s or the 90s, he could have gotten away with that.
Yeah.
But this is like mid, late 2000s in the aughts. And so I went home and just Googled it.
Yeah.
And it, like, the first thing that pops up when you type in intestinal migraines is
bullshit.
Yeah. It says a majority of doctors don't believe this is a real thing. And I'm like, oh, that seems kind of weird.
I just paid this guy 10 grand.
Yeah. It's like, huh. He put me under and scoped me and probably touched my penis. And that was the last time I visited a Greek doctor. Yeah, so that's what he told me, and I was on like Nexium and Prilosec and that bullshit, and it just made me sicker and sicker.
Yeah.
And then I saw a couple other doctors, and they just kind of...
Crohn's? Do you get Crohn's?
Yeah, they told me I had Crohn's.
Colitis, you probably, they told you. I
don't remember.
Listen, just because I guess one doesn't mean you got to try and jump in and guess
They go
one.
Together, man. I've done a lot of Crohn's and colitis benefits,
yeah.
Man.
They definitely
at least
at
the benefits.
I had Crohn's for a while, and that the medication did nothing. For that either. I still was sick all the time. So I basically would just not eat ever because anytime I ate, there's a chance I was going to get sick.
Jesus.
And it was basically just more or less my body trying to
survive.
Yeah. My pancreas was starting to not work, essentially. When you have type 1 diabetes, your body has white blood cells that attack the part of your pancreas that produces insulin.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was slowly killing my pancreas, acting as if it were basically a virus.
Pancreas is like, I haven't done shit! Yeah. Like, what is going on?
The doctor's
the babies,
like,
man!
Just take some Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah, you'll be fine. And so,
do you have type 1? Is that what you have?
Yeah.
You get the real shit, huh?
Yeah, I got the real deal, man.
Is there like beef between ones and twos?
Yeah, I mean, you know, those fats, they earned what they
the
got.
Fats.
They earned what they got.
I don't even consider type 2 diabetes. To me, it's just fatty sugar bottoms disease, and I have nothing in common with those folks. Did I cause this? No. God gave this
God
to me because
to
I earned it.
He wanted to rid
through
you.
Through karma.
Does the other Rick Ingram have diabetes?
He's dead, man.
I mean, he's got...
I should have said. My bad.
I don't think so.
No?
No, when I found out, I was kind of asking...
Wait, I got to ask you, who finally figured it out? Who's the one that finally was like, it's diabetes, it's not all this other shit?
Towards the very end, like the month leading up to my 30th birthday, I started getting really, really sick. And I started having like the more typical, I guess, diabetes problems, which is like you drink gallons of water every day, you have to pee all the time. And I started losing a bunch of weight too. And I mean, I'm not a heavy dude in general, but no. I probably lost 35 pounds in
Holy
a month.
Holy shit. What'd you weigh?
In a month?
Yeah. I was
dude,
down.
Can you give me some of that diet?
So I've had multiple girls be like, wait, so if you get diabetes, you lose weight? I'm like, yeah, trust me, I don't think it's worth
it. It's not worth
it.
But,
my God.
Yeah,
what did you get down to?
I was down to just under 120.
What?
And
shit.
I'm 5'11", so
woo.
I was looking like Holocaust.
I mean, what were
survivor.
Guys at the store? What was everyone saying?
People were so mean about it. And,
of course.
And at that point, I had been in a few commercials.
Of course they were.
And so I had health insurance. So once I started losing weight, I called the SAG clinic because I didn't know what else to do. And they're like, yeah, we can set up an appointment for like 35 days from now or whatever it was. I'm just like, oh, okay. So while that time is going by, I'm just basically slowly dying on the inside. And I've got like the homeless people that hang out at the Comedy Store telling me they're worried about me. Boon shakalaka.
It's true. Yeah. So let me just give you this, and I want to keep going, but like how I know Rick is through the Comedy Store, and you've always been a store guy. I mean,
yeah.
Rick's always been a store guy and crushes at the store. So I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, I got there when I was 21 and worked a door there, and they basically give me way more stage time than anyone else ever has. So.
Well deserved too, but what I was gonna say is no one really, like, you hear about diabetes, you know, and like I said, my grandmother had diabetes, but my grandmother still lived into her 70s and still had like dope candy around the house. Like, that was one she had this like sugar free candy that I was always like, oh man, we got to get grandma's candy,
right?
But like, you never hear, like, you never, at least I haven't seen or known anyone as young as you get diabetes, and like, and you never hear the story of people getting sick. I almost just thought of it or hear about it as people get older,
right?
They like, oh, get diabetes, and you know,
and that's the more common kind is type 2. Like, I think type 1 is only like, it's less than 5% of people with diabetes.
Is it really?
Yeah. So like, most of the people, the big deal in America now is because of all the obese people.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of type 2 now, and that generally type 2 affects older people, more or less, whose pancreas has just been worked too long.
Yeah.
And then sometimes their diet's fine, they just are old, so their pancreas slows down. And then fat people who basically abuse their pancreas and they just can't keep up with the carbs they're stuffing into their head on a gallon-by-gallon basis.
Yeah.
Most people with type 1, they get it when they're kids. Juvenile diabetes, gotcha, is what they used to call it. So, like, I knew a couple kids growing up. A kid played on my baseball team who had it. And, you know.
And you made fun of him.
Of course. What a loser, man.
Come on, dude.
I'm thankful I didn't get it till I was older. I got to enjoy Easter and Halloween and all the stuff that those pathetic juvenile diabetes losers couldn't do. But, yeah, so it caught up. It got me when I was older.
And then who finally diagnosed it?
So I went to the SAG clinic, and it was like the day before my 30th birthday. And at this point, if you Google my symptoms, it was basically like, you have stomach cancer and you're dying.
Oof.
And I was kind of like, oh man, this sucks. And I got Boon Shakalaka at the Comedy Store going, oh, you look like you got AIDS. I was just like, oh, good.
120.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Damn, you had to be skeleton.
I was. I mean, every bone in my body was basically sticking out, and my pants didn't fit, and I was just kind of preparing for the worst. So I went to the SAG clinic and met with the doctor, and he pricked my finger and tested it. That's all anyone had to do the whole time. And
God, that's the test.
That's it. Just a simple prick the finger, squeeze it. I mean, the smallest drop of blood, and he looks at the results, and he's like, I think you might be diabetic, so...
Sit tight. We have an audition for Boy Interrupted next door, if you just want to hop in over there.
He told me he needed to do a 12-hour fasting blood sugar test.
Jesus Christ, all they do is keep pushing
it off. He's like, go home, eat dinner tonight at before 8 o'clock, and then don't eat anything again, and come back tomorrow and do a blood test at 8 a.m., and if your blood sugar is still high after a 12-hour fasting, then we know you have diabetes. I was like, okay. So I went home, and I got so sick over the next 24 hours, basically. Just horribly sick. And it happened to me a couple times in my life where I was this sick, where it was like, I took a sip of water, I immediately threw it up.
Yeah, I've been there.
And so when I would get sick, basically, the only thing that would make me feel better was taking either like a scalding hot shower or laying in a really hot bath. Mm-hmm. And it would just basically make my body relax, and I would stop. Like, I would have like full stomach spasms. I was so sick with this stuff. So that night, about midnight, I started getting really sick again, and I just ran a bath.
You threw up bile?
What's that?
You throwing up bile?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
just
it.
Yellow stomach fluid, basically. And I got in the bath, and then I'd get out and immediately feel sick. So I ended up staying in the bathtub from basically midnight to 6 a.m.
Wow.
Just putting hot water back in.
Fell asleep.
Oh, man. There's no sleeping. It was that brutal. And then my wife woke up in the morning to go to work, whatever, and it's just like, this isn't okay. You have to go to the emergency room. And then it's me being a a dickhead dude being like, I don't need that. I just got to go do this blood test and everything will be fine. God. And so made her take me to, she took off work to take me to the SAG clinic because at this point I was so bad, like I could barely walk. Like, all my muscles were so weak, I couldn't. Jeez. I couldn't even walk my dog halfway down the block at this point. And so I got to the SAG clinic and I'm supposed to do a blood test, but I need to see a doctor. And we went, they took us into a room and then a different doctor came in and he had my chart from the day before. And he was like, yeah, you just need to go to the emergency room.
Your like, wife's like, I told you.
Yeah. I was just like, yeah, I don't know.
I said it was diabetes 3 years ago.
They couldn't help you right then and there?
No, he just basically...
It's a clinic.
I was in such a bad condition. He just didn't want to have any responsibility for anything that happened to me. So we were at the...
Did they call you an ambulance to get you over or anything?
They said they would, but the hospital was like 4 blocks from the
SAC.
You
walked?
No, my wife was lying.
He couldn't walk down the hall.
That's what I'm saying.
What
the fuck?
My wife drove me to the hospital, and we walked into the emergency room, and there was no filling out paperwork or waiting. The doctor had already called ahead.
Oh,
they had wheelchair waiting, and then I was in the ICU for 5 days. And, the endocrinologist at that hospital came and visited me.
He's like, yeah, hey, I remember you.
No, this is a dude I'd never seen. Yeah, he was just like, hey, so you have diabetes. And I was like, yeah, you know, the guy kind of told me yesterday he thought I did. He was like, no, you definitely do. You should have been sent here yesterday. And I was like, oh, okay.
Like, I should have been here 3 fucking years ago.
Shit. Yeah, 40 pounds ago.
So, yeah, so then he basically kind of told me what the deal was. And in my mind, I thought, you know, I'm too old to have type 1. So I figured I have type 2. And I'm like going back in my head like, God, I drank all those Mountain Dews. And
all
like,
that all this do, stuff. Man.
He was just like, no, you don't have that kind, idiot. You have the other kind. And I was like, oh, sweet. It's not my fault. And then I was on morphine for 3 days because I was
in
so
hospital?
Much pain from my muscles essentially just being broken down.
Yeah.
And what happened was, so for the
Uncle Rick would be like, come on, quit their left. Give me a drip. Give me a drip.
Just you hide under the bed. I'll be the Rick Ingram.
I'll be the Rick Ingram.
And so, yeah,
let me lick the hole. Let me just lick where it goes in your arm.
I'll drink straight out of the needle. I don't care.
Suck it out of your vein.
So, yeah, so all my stomach problems were from diabetes.
Wow.
Ketoacidosis, which the diabetes doctor was like, I mean, realistically, someone should have pricked your finger and just tested you, but you're not fat, so people don't think you have type 2, and you're too old to be a typical type 1 patient. And so, yeah, then that pretty much changed my life. Then it was... a lot healthier. I'm like the only person who's like happy about finding out what was wrong with me.
God,
I
love these diabetes.
Well, I got diabetes.
I mean, if you had to have diabetes over stomach cancer,
yeah.
I mean, you got the winner.
Yeah. Or being able to eat a meal and not throwing it up across a room.
What dietary things do you have to stay away from now?
I just have to know any carb I eat or consume, I have to give myself a shot. So
it's that because they're that full of what? Sugar?
Because
carbs
turn
to sugar.
Carbs turn to sugar. So I can't.
I cut back on my carbs.
I really can't eat any sort of simple sugar, which is basically desserts and anything like that.
At all, even if you have the insulin?
I mean, I can, but it's going to end up being a hassle. I'm going to have to give myself extra shots. And
I mean, how many shots do you give yourself a day?
A minimum of 4.
Wow.
And sometimes more if, you know, I don't count my carbs correctly.
Yeah.
My blood sugar gets high, then I have to do.
Can you feel it? Like, what happens?
I can't really feel when my blood sugar gets high, but once you're a type 1 diabetic and you're on insulin, the real threat becomes your blood sugar getting too low. Because sometimes you'll over, same thing, you don't count right and you give yourself a certain number of units and you should have given yourself less.
Mm-hmm.
And like a normal body that works, your body will regulate it. So your blood sugar is always between essentially like 80 and 130. And, what will happen with type 1 is you give yourself too much insulin accidentally and your blood sugar starts dropping. It could be like, you know, mine thankfully has never been this low, but there are lots of cases of people whose their blood sugar drops to like 50. And then at that point you start having serious issues. Like you can have organ failure.
Damn.
all sorts of terrible stuff. So when mine gets low, it's like anyone who gets low blood sugar. I basically get cranky, and it's just like it'll happen sometimes, and it's never catastrophically low, but it'll be getting lower, and I just basically get real cranky. My wife will be like, you think you need to eat something? And I'll be like, I'm fine. And then I'll check my blood sugar and be like, actually, you're right. Scientifically, I do need to eat something.
Scientifically.
So, and that's another, like, diabetics a lot of times keep candy around.
Yeah.
Because it'll go into your blood so quickly. If your blood sugar is low, then you can save yourself with a Snickers bar. Or
it really works that fast, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that's the main reason why I can't eat like candy or cookies, cake, stuff like that, is because it's such a simple sugar, it just immediately will spike my blood sugar. So even if I know exactly how many carbs is in it, I'll give myself a shot and it'll go up too quickly, and then it'll surpass the insulin, how fast the insulin can work, and then it'll just crash really quickly. So
damn,
it's you just have to be careful with it. I used to eat like a normal comic. It was just, you know, chicken fingers and pizza and whatever crap you get. And
now you're doing yourself a favor.
Yeah. And now I eat a lot of vegetables and all sorts of healthy stuff I never thought I would eat. But
so wait a minute. I think we glazed over this. So then the day that you were 12 hours or 6 hours in the bath and then going in the ER, that was your birthday.
That was my birthday. 30th
Holy
birthday.
Shit. Yeah. 30th.
Yeah. It was glorious. It was a really nice feeling. And I had legitimately been sick for so long. There was a part of me that was just like, this is getting older, bro.
Yeah.
You're going to be 30. So you just lose 35 pounds and almost die. That's being 30, bro.
I mean.
Well, so you also have a kidney stone right now, too.
Yep.
Which I mean, I'll talk about mine after you, but I certainly, and I don't mean it as a joke,
we heard pain. A lot about Ryan's kidney stone.
You didn't hear what happened after all that, though.
Oh, man. It's been no fun. I basically started pissing blood. And
how long ago? Jesus.
Like month.
So he's
had
a month.
Yeah.
I don't know how you did it.
Where was the pain? Have you felt any pain?
Yeah, I've had a couple days of pretty brutal pain.
Where?
My right kidney.
Okay, and so where was your
lower back?
Exactly, yeah. I thought yours, you said, was under your rib. Under
Let's
your
start
rib
up
cage.
Here. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And then that's kidney. When it's traveling?
And then it goes down. No, wait. Mine was on my left, I think, actually. It was on my left side.
I remember you saying it was
way.
Over there.
It was. And then it went down into my...
into the bladder?
Yeah, but see, mine... you're saying it would hit you and then, like, go away. I didn't have any. I was on my knees like, Jesus Christ, I think I'm really... I've never passed out in my life. That's the closest I've come to actually passing out.
Yeah, my roommate, when I first moved out here, had one that was similar. He started passing his, and I was out...
That's what I did,
I was out to, like, probably 3 or 4 in the morning the night before, just... partying my balls off, and about 7 a.m. he crawled in to my room. He was just like, I need you to take me to the hospital. And I remember waking up still just so hammered on whiskey, just being like, what? And he couldn't even get up off the ground.
Yeah.
So sick. And so I took him. We were so dumb. I was like, we were probably 22 or 23 then. We didn't even know where a hospital was.
Kidney stone at 23? I know.
So it was just, we're driving down Sepulveda, down in Manhattan Beach, and I'm stopping at stoplights, just rolling down my window and asking people, do you know where the hospital is?
Oh my God.
Holy shit, he's over there dying.
They're looking at me like, what the fuck?
They're like, who's this?
Yeah,
is that Rick Ingram?
Yeah.
Nah, that's the other Rick Ingram.
So I didn't have that. Mine, I've now found out, is too large to even pass. So the pain I've had is from, it basically gets to the entrance of whatever the tube is called that goes from your kidney to your bladder.
Ureteral tube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just stuck. It's just stuck there. It can't do anything.
Yeah.
So.
It's like a golf ball trying to go into a garden hose.
Yeah.
So they're going to blow it up like the Death Star.
Yeah. They're.
And then pieces of the Death Star are going
to crumble.
So then you're going to have to pass that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's the thing. Man.
Here's the other thing. And I hate, I mean, I don't, I'm not laughing at you because I'm laughing because I'm telling you, I feel your pain. They're going to blast them big enough to make them go down that tube. Well, mine was big enough to go down the fucking tube. So you could have three,
multiples.
Four of those fucking things that he's got to then do. They don't give a fuck about making it pain free. They're just trying to get it to get through there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, the whole procedure sounds terrible. I was like, so are you going to do the thing where you blast, you know, rays through my stomach?
Rays.
He was like, no, we don't do that anymore. I was like, oh, how does this work? And he's like, well, we We stick a scope up your penis and...
Oh, no way.
And into your bladder.
I wasn't expecting that.
And then up the tube and into your kidney. And then we shoot a laser that breaks up. I'm like, hold on. You're sticking a laser up my dick hole?
How big is that laser? And
this doesn't
that
sound
sounds
fun.
Like a long way it's got to go.
Get the fuck out of it. I would be like, make an incision.
Yeah.
And go in now. Cut her out. Leave my dick alone.
And I already had... When I first went in, he was like, you know, here are the things. And doctors are so fucking... awful. They immediately, it's just like, it's probably a kidney stone. There's a chance that it's bladder cancer. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah. Oh, God.
So that day, he's like, we're going to do a cystoscopy. And I'm just like, okay, let's do it. And then he's like, there's a minimal amount of pain. And I'm just like, what does this involve? And he's like, we're going to stick a scope up your urethra. And I'm like, what?
Oh!
And then he's like, so do you want to come back and do that same day you do the CAT scan, or do you just want to get it over with? I'm like, I don't want to think about
it. I'll take the motherfucking cancer.
I just said, that's what I should have said. And so then they fucking prep up my dick. And
are they putting any numbing?
They put a little numbing agent in the top. And I'm just laying there like, this is terrible. And then he's like, you're going to feel a little pinch. And then he goes, I'm going to do it fast like a Band-Aid. And then he just straight in. And I was like,
I feel old.
And then he's like, it'll be a lot easier for me to look around if you relax. I'm like,
relax.
There's no fucking way that's happening, doctor.
Can you guys run a warm bath? Yeah. I relax very well in a warm bath.
There's no way this is happening. And then he's like, he scopes around for like 20 seconds.
God,
I'm just literally
damn,
laying
I'm
there like,
chilled.
Someone kill me.
Is it, what's the, I mean, tell me what the pain is like. Is it sharp? Is it like,
since they numbed basically the top half of the penis,
just the
you
tip
don't feel
is
it.
Numb. Yeah. Everything beyond that is.
It feels terrible. And then when it pushes through actually into the bladder, there's some sort of muscle there that prevents that so you don't just leak piss or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, it felt like someone was stabbing the inside
of
bottom
of
my dick. I'm just laying there.
If they're going all the way up through there, all the way through to laser that, they should make something that will actually just vacuum it,
suck it out,
crush it,
yeah,
and pull it back
while
through,
they're there.
While they're
I'm going to be under anesthesia.
Yeah.
So
a shop vac up there? What
maybe.
Going
I'll
on?
Take it. Come on.
That sounds
think
better
about
than
that.
The alternative.
Instead of blowing it up a bunch and then it sucks
and,
it all
and
into
then
that
I gotta
tube,
deal with four.
And then it pulls it through.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Let me just say something here. We know. I want. You know what I want to know?
God.
What is this laser that can break down a kidney stone, but at the same time, what the fuck else is it doing in there?
It's not
going
to burn my kidneys.
Right, yeah, right. It's shooting off from the side, knocking out veins.
Yeah, who knows?
What is it?
It's asteroids.
I feel
it's
like
literally human asteroids.
I feel like I'm a science experiment at this point. But
I mean,
oh, and then he goes, "Well, the great news is your bladder looks fantastic." And at that point, there's something shoved up my dick hole, and you better diagnose me with bladder cancer to go through this.
My God.
But everything looks great, and then I had to go in a week later and get a CAT scan, and they're like, "Yeah, yeah, you have a big old kidney stone." And
let me ask this: your penis is unerect.
Yes.
Okay, but I mean but it's got to be weird. How do you jam that? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's some sort of a clamp that's basically holding your limp penis up so that it's more or less a straight
God
shot.
God forbid.
This sounds like something that dude on Game of Thrones does, that crazy
does
dude
yeah,
that
yeah.
just beats on that dude.
Raper Rob Thomas is what I call that guy. I don't know any of their names, but he looks like the guy from Matchbox 20 if he was a creepy
man.
Raper.
Yeah, he's nuts.
I mean, you got... Look, and this will be a little message out there to people. Safe sex. Make sure you use a condom, because in high school, our friend's mom was a nurse, and her method of safe sex was telling us about the STDs she would see boys and guys get,
sure.
where she would have to take a needle and put it down there or up their urethra Ooh. And pull the pus and poison
yeah.
out first, then another one to pull the urine out because they're so infected they can't get it out and it's backing up in their
yeah.
system. And when we heard that, we were like, that
yeah.
is better than any fucking film strip we've
Hell
seen.
Yeah.
Any
yeah.
like, thank Ugh. You, Mrs. Biasella.
And all of that is after they stick a Q-tip up your dick mm-hmm. in the first place. Just
and
to,
swab it
Oh, yeah,
first.
It's blocked. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah I know
yeah,
it's
that.
Blocked.
Oh, man. When she told us that, we were like, come on. She's like, you think I'm lying? We were like, phew.
Yeah.
So how long have you had it right now?
I don't know when it got there, but I've been dealing with the repercussions of it being there for like 4 or 5 weeks.
Jesus.
And I was supposed to have it removed 2 weekends ago. and they called the 2 days before and said they have to postpone it a
bumped.
Week.
I got bumped.
What is
bumped.
What are they bumping you? What's, then, what's,
they had an emergency. Like yeah. Someone else. Prince showed up.
The other Rick Ingram first, been here for shit.
We're trying to resuscitate him. So yeah, they bumped me, and then I was supposed to do it last Friday, and then I got bumped again.
Come
it's
on.
Like Eddie Griffin and Dwayne.
Where are you getting this done?
Cedar Sinai.
And they're bumping you.
They're bumping me. And so then
Cedar Sinai might be celebrities bumping
on
you.
On Thursday, I was pissed that I was like, no, this is not okay. Have the doctor call me immediately. And I was like going to try and guilt trip him into doing like, no, you move someone else. You've already done this. And
I'd have been like, doctor, my God.
The pain is unbearable. I will sue somebody for this. But yeah, so then. They bumped me again, so I'm supposed to have it done this upcoming Friday. But when he called me, I'm just like, this is unacceptable. Explain to me what's happening. And he's like, well, basically, Cedars-Sinai has taken on so many medical practices and different doctors that they just don't have the room for all the procedures that we have to do. But since it's basically a corporation, they would rather have every bed filled at all times and have too many doctors. And then if you just have to move people back, then that's the deal.
Wow. He told you that?
Yeah, that's what he said. And who knows? Maybe he's just like, I got to blame this on someone else. Yeah. He's like, I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll do it really early because usually when they schedule surgeries, it's more in the middle part of the day. And if we schedule you at 7:30 in the morning, most likely other doctors won't want to get up to do surgery at that time.
Yeah, they'll be barely awake. Like, let me fucking stick this up your dickhole. Yeah. It's 6 a.m.
Yeah.
It's
awake. So I'm going to get the early morning dickhole laser.
Do they put you out for it?
Yeah, they put you out.
Oh, thank
what
God.
Time?
7:30 in the morning. I have to be there at 5:30. And
I was going to say 7:30 there and then prep for 2. You're all right, but you got to be there at 5.
Yeah, I got to be there at 5:30 and then just, you know, motivate myself to wake up from having my dick hole lasered.
Let me tell you this. I think this is ideal. Because you're already exhausted. So you show up at 5:30, you're just going to be lazy. Then they're going to put you out anyway.
Yep.
You're going to probably sleep there till, you know what?
Till late morning, I'm guessing.
Late morning, your lady's going to take you home and then you're kicking it on the couch the whole weekend. Am I wrong?
Probably. Yeah, I mean that's basically what I've got in store. So that should be fun. I'm really looking forward to that.
Dude, good luck with that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That, my whole thought now is kind of like what you were saying. It's like, so it's too big to pass. So they're gonna blast this thing with futuristic lasers, and then I'm gonna have torture of multiple kidney stones.
Yeah.
For a couple of days. So they better give me some sweet pills and just let me fucking suffer through.
Dude, that's right. You have to pass them all, man.
It took me, I can't remember the prescription ibuprofen that they start with, but they gave me that. They gave me morphine, and they gave me, I mean, back to back to back, Dilaudid, 3 rounds.
Yeah.
Because I could still feel the pain. Not just feel it, fucking feel it. And that dude was like, I can't believe it took that many. And then I was telling Jay, like, I didn't get the high that I've seen people get from it or anything like that, but I got the immediate
relief.
Pain. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I wasn't high at all, but I felt normal.
Right.
But I will say this for Dilaudid. I closed my eyes at one point, and when I woke up, I thought I slept for 8 or 9 hours, and it was 15 minutes. It was the best fucking 15-minute nap
That's
I've
beautiful.
Ever taken in my life.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm in. Just give me whatever and get this shit over with. I just don't want to deal with it.
Till next month when Rick gets.
Oh, God.
Yeah, who knows what's next on the medical docket for me. Just keep them coming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just turned 35, so you know this is 35, man.
Oh, yeah, 35.
You just get kidney stones. That's the deal.
No. They come later, too, man. I got mine in my 40s.
Brutal.
That was my 43rd birthday, kidney stone.
Whew.
So why don't we switch gears here a little bit? Because you actually told us a story off mic, or at least told us about a story of a WWE
sure.
match, I guess.
Yeah.
But there was something that happened.
Wait, that was E, not F?
99. It was probably.
Oh, it might have been F.
It was either right when they switched to WWE.
WWF.
But
I only can say W. I mean, I don't know anyone.
It's hard to say E.
Yeah.
I have to think about.
Yeah, I would watch a lot of mainly pay-per-views and stuff in the late 90s, and that WWE Attitude Era, when it was, you know, Stone Cold and The Rock and those guys. And so we would watch it. My brother was a big wrestling fan, so he would get a lot of the pay-per-views, and we'd have our friends come over, whatever, watching my parents' basement, and it was a good time. And they finally came to Kansas City. They'd come to Kansas City.
First of all, like, can I just say this? As a man in his 40s,
yeah,
hearing anyone reminisce, which is what we're doing, about parents' basement, I mean, just take me there right now.
The good times.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Just the simple.
Rick Ingram, the other one over in the corner.
The other Rick Ingram shooting up, passed out, covered in beer cans.
Ah, the
Hulkamania headband.
Oh, go ahead.
Seriously. So yeah, they'd come to Kansas City like once a year, but it was always like a Thursday dark show that meant nothing. It was just basically them practicing for whatever the Monday Night Raw coming up was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we never really went to those because it was same amount of money for something that was basically practice.
Oh, really? It was the same price?
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't the big
night? Yeah. I mean, it was maybe a little bit cheaper, but I mean, tickets were fairly comparable for watching something that you could then again watch the following Monday on TV. And so we'd never gone. And
I didn't know that. I didn't know they practice it in front of like fans.
Yeah, they call it dark shows, and it's just shows that aren't
televised.
We would get
in Baltimore all the time.
Yeah.
I'd go see Jimmy Snuka and Andre the Giant, but it was never the...
It wasn't on anything.
It wasn't on anything.
But so wait, what if it was like a huge event, like a steel cage match? They'll just do a steel cage match on a dark show and just be like...
I've seen a steel cage match in a dark show.
Wait a minute, like what about championship fights? They'll do those?
I mean, the belt wouldn't switch hands,
right?
But they'd probably do it. I mean, that's how they get ready and figure out what moves they're going to do and the pace of the match.
Oh, that's amazing.
Match and stuff.
They said it's so advanced now, like that we could be in the middle of something and I could give you a signal, and or there's someone in
the referee
will tell you like even if it's preset that you're going to win first, Jay Larson, mm-hmm. they've been known to switch in the middle of it and be like, you know what, actually Rick's going to be the winner now. And you got to be ready for that.
A lot of the refs are writers, and so they have an earpiece in, and they're being basically told from whoever's
Vince
in charge.
McMahon?
Yeah, Vince. Or I'm sure Vince doesn't actually do it now, but whoever's actually doing it, being like, okay, have them switch, you know, so now Stone Cold is winning, and then, all right, now switch back so that Ric Flair is winning or whatever it is. And they provide them the information when, you know, they're breaking him up, and, you can't. Hit him in the nuts. And by the way, he's going to kick the shit out of you for the next 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So they scheduled a pay-per-view for Kansas City. It's called Over the Edge. And
Over the Edge.
And
the other Rick Ingram story.
God. It's just too good.
He's all day on this.
Somewhere, wherever the other Rick Ingram is in his afterlife, he hasn't gotten this much attention in a decade.
Shit, it's a shame,
you know, they're talking about me.
It's a shame he's not here.
So we decided we were going to go. My brother, me, and a couple of our other friends, and they were selling tickets not through Ticketmaster because they wanted to make more of the money themselves. So it was like through whatever the other ticket
broker
was.
Through LouisCK.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Cash only at the door. So we had to go up to a grocery store where they had basically a ticket counter and buy our tickets there. So we went up there. I was 17. I was almost 18 years old.
They sold the tickets like they do Dodger tickets at the grocery store here or whatever. Okay.
Yeah. And
wait, you can get Dodger tickets at the grocery store?
I feel like Ralph's you can.
Yeah, I think so. Huh. They're basically the cheap seats
or
whatever.
But upper deck and stuff.
So we drove. I had a sweet ride back then. I had a 1988 Oldsmobile Delta 88 Grand Royale.
All the eights.
Yeah. Grand Royale. Yeah.
This thing was prime time. We called it Grandpa, and it was just a boat, essentially. And so we drove up there to get in line. We went several hours early, being like, this is great. We're going to get there early. We'll
grab some produce.
Yeah. Enjoy some fresh Kansas produce. And we got there, it was probably 2 or 3 hours early, and there was already a line like a quarter mile out of the grocery store. It was just so popular then, and there isn't shit to do in Kansas, so everyone was planning on going, I guess. And we pull into the parking lot, and I'm just in shock at how long this line is. Just like, there's no way we're even going to get tickets. We're going to have to wait for another two or 3 hours.
Like, I got two.
I got two.
Who needs two?
I need needles and 500 a ticket.
They're like, for next week, somewhere else.
Definitely a dark show. Yeah, so I'm staring at this line, just not happy with our situation, and I'm still driving very, not fast, but just still rolling through this parking lot, and a car pulled out in front of me, and I didn't even slow down. I just T-boned him straight on.
Oh, man. Holy shit.
Just smashed into him. I was just like, oh, fuck. And the dude gets out, and he's all fucking pissed and yelling. And
was it your fault, though?
I mean, it was my fault.
He T-boned the guy.
But
hold on.
I'm technically driving, and he's pulling out of a parking space.
That's
so
his fault.
That's his fault. But in theory, I had enough time to stop. I just didn't, and right. I definitely know he had enough time to stop.
It's because he T-boned him. It's not like he got the back
the bumper
or the trunk. Yeah. He got the middle.
That guy
straight
was
on.
Just about to pull that fucking shift down
into
drive.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I definitely was playing the, I was paying attention. Definitely wasn't not paying attention at all.
I just figured you'd move back in. Yeah. I thought you saw me, man. It's a goddamn Delta 88 Grand Royale.
Yeah, I mean, how did you not see this beautiful pearl of an automobile? And,
what color?
It was off-white.
Off-white.
I mean, it really was pearl, I think.
Yeah.
I believe that was the color on the label. So the great thing about the situation was it caused such a ruckus, a car smashing into another car, that one of my brother's friends, who had been there basically since like 5 in the morning, saw us, and he was like 10th in line.
Oh.
And so while I'm sitting there dealing with all this bullshit of causing a car accident and trying to blame it on the other guy, my brother's buddy came up and was just like, Jim, you should come get in line with us. So I deal with this shit for like 45 minutes, and by the time I'm done, there's like maybe an hour until ticket sales, and my brother's basically at the front of the line, and I'm just like, this worked out great. I would have done that on purpose if I would have known.
Your brother had time to make a salad, you know?
He's living the dream.
Wait a minute. So did you exchange like insurance and all that?
Yeah,
was your car damaged?
No, I mean,
I was gonna
this thing was a boat. So
yeah, and you're in a parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of things I hit with this car, and I once turned too sharply going left, and we used to call it A-team turns, where you just don't even slow down. You just turn it no matter how fast you're going. And I couldn't turn it sharp enough. And just went straight up onto the grass in between the road and the sidewalk, went straight through a no parking sign, and just literally just broke the thing off. Not even a scratch on my bumper.
Oh, my God.
That's the kind of tank they had.
Metal, silver fucking bumper.
Yeah, and it tore right through it. And I was like, oh, shit. And I get out. Not a single bit of damage to the car.
That's amazing.
Sign just
got 3 miles
smashed
to the gallon.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it was terrible gas mileage, but great car for someone who was basically a lunatic driving at that point, 17-year-old.
I used to love to, we would always camp out for concert tickets. So without parents, you don't have to fucking ask permission. And whoever was coming into town, Clapton or whatever, we would go to the mall and wait for like Macy's or whoever had a Ticketmaster in it to open at 5 a.m. or something. And you would get in line, and it was a party all night. People would line up sometimes by the hundreds, and they'd be out there with tents and footballs and shit, and they just let you stay in the mall parking lot. So a bunch of us used to do it all the time just to make sure we got a good seat, because if not, that's what you were getting, that fucking
screwed
upper deck shit.
The Euchers.
Did people ever bounce out of that line?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you have to move up and shit?
Yeah, if people are like, fuck this, or something happens and they leave, everybody slides up. But at
what if
that
you had
point,
a tent set up?
But someone always stays in your place.
Usually someone.
Yeah, there's someone from the group. Everybody rotates out if you bring people. You know, like you do an hour, I'll do an hour, everybody switches off.
Gotcha.
So while we're all playing fucking football, Rick's got to sit there.
I'm sitting there. The other Rick Ingram.
The other Rick Ingram.
He, that's the guy
you
go to concerts
with. Fucking give him heroin. Just let him lay in line for you.
Set him up in a lawn chair.
We'll be set.
Don't even take
the needle
out.
Put him in a wheelchair. Just go up behind him every time it moves, push him, then leave.
Squeeze a little out of the needle, leave it in. Come back 15, squeeze a little more.
That poor son of
taking care of business. So my brother got us great tickets. We were about 20 rows, maybe a little less, a little more.
On the floor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just right back from the ring. And we went, we all dressed up, super white trash.
Does everyone dress up?
A lot of people do. And I mean, a lot of the people are just white trash, so they're just wearing the normal clothes. But I mean, we were full on, like, we went and bought wife beaters and jean shorts and stuff just to go as far white trash as we could, and made a bunch of signs saying inappropriate shit and whatever it was. And so we went, and, you know, it's Kansas City, so we tailgate beforehand, do all that good shit, hanging out. And
is everyone tailgating?
Yeah,
wrestling tailgate.
Basically, every any event in Kansas City, there's at least twice as much tailgating as there
really?
Is.
Really?
Well, I would think people tailgate for hockey. That's an indoor event.
Yeah,
I would. I mean,
oh hell yeah! They
in
do.
Massachusetts, the only thing we ever tailgated for were Pats games. I guess maybe
no tailgating for Bruins games.
Where?
Don't you in the parking lot?
What parking lot, Ryan? The stadium. It's in the city. There's no parking lot.
There's no area.
There's no parking lot at Fenway. There's no.
I mean, Baltimore's got their stadium in the city, and there's all kinds of room around the parking lot around the stadium.
No, Fenway Park is surrounded
like
by
Rose
bars,
Bowl,
restaurants.
You know what I mean?
No,
I've been to Fenway,
and same with TD Garden or whatever it is now. Back when it was the Boston Garden, right. It's like there was a train station in it for crying out. Yeah, I mean there was no.
So you parked everywhere else and then walked to it.
Yeah, every single gas station's closed down, and you can park there. Like you know, there's like everyone's using their space to like
sell spots.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, in Kansas City, there's so much space. And there's so little anything that basically any. The Royal Stadium and
Chiefs
Stadium.
Yeah, do you tailgate Royal games?
Oh, yeah. And they're both, the stadiums are right next to each other, and there's just acres of parking lots surrounding them.
Yeah.
It's
people tailgate out in Anaheim at the Angels games.
Yeah.
They're on the other side out by the A. I mean,
just
you got to be secretive
there,
about
not
it.
Not just me.
Yeah.
With some chick with beans. As long as there's no alcohol in their lot, they don't care if you're cooking burgers and stuff like that.
In Kansas City, they assume you have alcohol. There's no, people don't care about that at all. People have their grills out, just getting fully hammered. Like, I would guess 60% of the people going to Chiefs games have been hammered for 6 hours, even if it's a noon game.
That's probably most football, though.
Yeah.
I remember driving by the Royals. Royal Stadium once, probably like, this is like 2003 or 2002, and just being like, because I was thinking about this yesterday. My buddy was talking, his kid threw a baseball, and he goes, "Ah, looks like it's going to be a sidearm." I go, "Dan Quisenberry, huh?"
Yeah, the quiz.
And
yeah.
When I was growing up, you know, I was a Red Sox fan, so everything was American League.
Sure.
You know what I mean? There's no interleague back then.
Right.
So I knew, Brett Saberhagen and the Q were together, you know?
Yeah.
And I used to love the Royals, and I love that stadium because of the water fountain, you know? And I just always love that stadium. I remember driving by and like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
It's great to see him win the World Series, by the way.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
It was a long run of being a fan of a horrible team.
Oh, I know. Hey, so, I went through it.
Yes. I guess Sox fan probably knows it even worse.
Yeah, well.
My brother caught a foul ball in Old Memorial Stadium off of Pete LeCocq.
Nice.
You remember Pete LeCocq?
Yeah.
Best fucking name in
baseball.
Yeah,
it's a great name.
Pete LeCocq had a huge kidney stone.
The laser.
I tweeted out Pete LeCocq is the best name in baseball, and then someone has a Pete LeCocq parody account, which I couldn't even believe. They got it. They're like, thanks. They wrote
dude,
that's ridiculous.
They used a laser cannon on LeCocq.
Oh,
it was so impressive.
It is such a perfect word.
Yeah, Pete LeCocq and Rusty Kuntzer, I think two of the best names in sports.
Pete LeCocq fucking fouled that ball. My brother dove up under the seat. It was late in the game when people left, and that's when you could run down the home plate. You know what I mean? For like an inning, you sit down there and feel like, oh my God, look at these things.
Yeah, I mean, that was basically the Royals for my entire life. It's like now they sell out a lot of tickets, but back then there's like maximum, there'd be like 7,000 people in the stadium, and you could buy a ticket for the upper deck, basically.
What about when Bo was there?
But it was better when Bo was there, but basically starting in the late, well, more the early 90s, the team was never that good.
So,
it was just a terrible time. We'd go all the time. You'd get $5 Royals tickets.
Damn.
Just go out there, sit, basically buy a bleacher seat, and then you could just walk and sit
wherever you wanted.
Eight,
that used to be
eight
the
rows
Angels
from
games.
The field.
We used to do that all the time. Buy an upper deck seat and just walk down. And
You guys
anyway,
lost Frankie.
We took you off of off track here. So, you're...
Right,
at
so we go to the wrestling
rows
event.
Back.
We're having a great time. And
how long are these matches? Two hours?
A pay per view, I think, is typically 2 hours to 3 hours.
It's a bunch. Oh,
yeah, no,
yeah. And so the way it was back then in the 90s, they had a thing called Sunday Night Heat, which they did every week, and it was basically just an hour of more or less set up for the Monday Night Raw the next night. And on the once a month, they'd have a pay-per-view, and the Sunday Night Heat would go on before the pay-per-view. And it was basically like a last-minute advertisement where they'd show interviews for the matches that were supposed to happen later, and the hope was that people would watch and be like, we should get the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So they did those matches, and they were pretty weak. It was basically like all their stars were going to wrestle in the pay-per-view, so let's throw out the garbage wrestlers we have and have them wrestle for an hour.
Yeah.
So we were there, we watched it, and it was fine. It was, you know, basically meaningless matches, and then they'd film a couple promos. So, like, whoever it was would come down and do a thing, and then later they would edit that into the pay-per-view.
As like Wait a minute, so it's not happening that night?
No, no, it is.
Oh, okay.
It just, the turnover's that quick on it.
Damn.
So, like, they would have, you know, the Rock would come down and give, like, a five-minute speech, and then... That way he didn't have to do it when he was actually preparing for his match later that night. So if you're watching it at home on the pay-per-view, they just edit in the clip of The Rock coming out and be, oh, The Rock is here at Over the Edge. And then he'd yell whatever he yells, and the white trash would go crazy. And so that was basically what the pre-pay-per-view was.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched that, and it was fun. And then the wrestling match started, the pay-per-view. And it was pretty cool to watch. I guess just seeing like all the stuff that goes on in between, and you know, they have the people coming down and basically setting up all the stuff so that, you know, if they need props under the ring for someone to use to later illegally beat someone with, there's like a guy who comes down and is putting all that stuff there while they're showing the pre-recorded interviews from earlier. And it was just kind of, it was cool to watch it. And then it's probably about four or five matches in, they had, it was supposed to be, the Godfather versus the Blue Blazer. And the Godfather was like a wrestler who was around in the 80s. He was like a witch doctor named Papa Shango.
And then, I remember that dude.
And then at some point...
Top hat? Didn't he have a top hat? Like a voodoo guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that
guy. And then at some point...
Shake skulls or something.
Yeah,
like you, right?
He did.
Yeah, he did.
He had the smoking skulls, the smoke come out of the eye sockets. And then in true wrestling fashion, they were just like, this witch doctor thing isn't really working. What if instead we made this guy a pimp? And so the Godfather became a pimp.
Shut up.
Oh, and really? Same dude.
Same dude. He basically just went from wearing like a bone chest protector and voodoo hat to he just wore like a bright green pimp suit, and he would come down to the ring with hose.
And like, unbelievable.
Yeah, I know they change characters a lot. Like,
yeah. It was just like, hey, remember when this guy was making black oil bleed out of the Ultimate Warrior's head?
Yeah.
Well, now he's trying to get us to ride on the Ho Train.
That would be like, his call?
That was his call.
Wow.
And so he was supposed to wrestle a Blue Blazer, and the Blue Blazer was basically this shitty pretend superhero, and he would...
Imagine just being a wrestler who just wasn't popular.
And they're like, you're the Blue Blazer now.
But that voodoo dude guy said he's been around for how many years did he wrestle? Like 10, 15
decades,
years?
Decades, yeah.
That's amazing. I've never heard, I mean, not like I've heard, but I mean.
He popped late, man.
Yeah. He came late, yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty popular during that time. It's just like a side character. I don't think he ever won championships. I'm not really sure. But, you know, people thought it was funny that there was a guy with, they basically would find local strippers, and they would come and be on the show as his hoes, whatever it was. And his gimmick was literally he would go down, and whoever he was supposed to fight, he would yell, "Pimpin' ain't easy," and then he would tell him, "We can either do this. We can either fight, and I'm going to whoop your ass, or you can take two of these hoes right now and just admit that I win." And then every once in a while, the wrestler, if he was fighting like some loser guy, would be like, "I'll take the hose." And then they just raise the Godfather's hand, and it's like, he's literally selling bitches. And so they started playing his music, and everyone starts cheering because there's now a stereotype of a black pimp coming down with a bunch of hoes. And then a body fell from the roof. 90 feet and smacked square into the ring.
Wait, while he's walking into the ring,
while
this
he's
happened?
Making his yeah, while the Godfather's making his entrance right down the ramp,
you see a body.
Yeah.
You see it.
I see from about 5 feet above the ring is when I notice this thing falling, And we're kind of standing there, and it's happening basically directly in front of us. I mean, probably 30, 40 feet away. Mm-hmm. And
90 just, feet it fell?
He just smacked. He hit, basically his head hit on the rope right by the turnbuckle, and then his body just smacked into the ring. And then there was like a, basically just a spasm of his body kind of flopping up and then going right back down. And all of this is going on while there's the porn music that the Godfather comes down to. It's like, and then just 18,000 people dead silent. Just like, wait, what the fuck just happened?
Like, yeah, that part of the show.
Yeah, it's just, was that a dummy?
What did they do? How did the WWF or whatever the hell react?
So I guess on the pay-per-view feed, it just cut to black because the cameras were on the ramp, so there wasn't any. They weren't showing the ring at the time.
Okay.
Just cut to black, and from our perspective, the lights came back on instead of the flashing entrance lights or whatever.
Yeah.
And Jerry Lawler, who was an announcer at the time, he just ran into the ring and just started screaming, and it was very apparent that there was some sort of an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was going to be his entrance or something from the way, up there coming down into the ring or something?
The way the Blue Blazer would enter was they would lower him down on a rope or whatever. And about 5 to 6 feet above the ring, he'd pull his release cord. And then he would land in the ring and basically act like a goofy superhero. Like, did everyone see that? I flew into the ring, even though I was very clearly lowered in. And so what ended up, I guess their conclusion was that he pulled his safety release accidentally while he was still waiting to be lowered in. So he was all the way on the top.
So he was suspended, hanging, and he actually
getting ready to be lowered in and somehow pulled his safety and just dropped the entire distance from the roof of Kemper Arena.
Holy shit.
And so the Godfather
won, clearly.
Yeah.
Very clear.
I got the hose, I guess.
He ran down to the ring, was just basically standing there, just looking mortified.
Because they're all buddies, right?
Yeah, they're all friends.
Yeah.
And these stripper chicks are just basically standing there like, so are we still getting paid? Or yeah, how does this work? And the part of the Blue Blazer gimmick was that sometimes they'd always pull the mask off. And sometimes it was Owen Hart, and other times it would just be some jobber, some nobody. And then Owen Hart would pop out from underneath the ring and attack whoever it was he was supposed to be fighting.
So there's a chance the jobber's being dropped in.
Yeah.
And then Owen Hart pops out. And
it's like, oh, all right, that was definitely a human. Not that it's better if it's some guy we don't know, but it's certainly less of a impactful moment, I guess, as someone that
business
is a fan. Yeah. For a business, especially.
For a business, yeah.
And they took his mask off, and you could see it was Owen Hart. And then everyone was just like, oh. And then basically everyone in the arena who was with children just headed for the exits.
Yeah. Wow.
And they spent the next 10 minutes trying to resuscitate this body in the ring. And they had...
Has anyone come on and made an announcement or anything?
Nope. Just nothing. Completely silence. Paramedics run down. They're doing chest compressions and all that stuff. And
did the paramedics slide under the bottom ring?
One of them did.
One got hit with a chair.
The one guy who was ready. He slid in immediately. He had the pimp cane in hand. So they tried to resuscitate him, and he was very clearly not going to come back to life. Like, he started turning a color, grayish in the ring. And they said afterwards
he died instantly.
Yeah, he died instantly. He had 5 or 6 of his organs detached.
Oh.
When he hit the ground, so he's just bleeding out from the inside. And, we stood there basically in silence, just kind of like, well, what's going to happen now? What's going on?
Yeah, how do they end this?
And they eventually cart him out, still a guy trying to give him chest compressions while they're carting him out. And probably maybe half the arena is left, probably a little less than half is still full. People just kind of stand there like, yeah, what happens? What do you do now? And then after about another 10 to 15 minutes of just silence, no announcement,
enough.
Just sitting
nothing
there,
up on
like,
the video board.
Nothing.
Or
the videos, the jumbotrons are black, just empty screen. And we're sitting there and we're somewhat distasteful dudes. So, you know, we're cracking jokes about, oh, I can't believe what we just saw. I mean, the badass Billy Gunn pinned the Road Dog Jesse James just like that a match ago. And the people around us are like, that's terrible. And we're just like, sorry, we're assholes, whatever. Yeah. And then just like nothing happened. Entrance music starts playing.
No way.
Yeah. And the next
was there blood in the ring?
No. He didn't open up at all.
Gotcha.
I mean, he might have bled a little from his face. But
who had to follow that?
Yeah, they brought out two. I can't even remember what the guy's name was now, but just like a completely unimportant match that meant nothing. Yeah. Not that anything really.
Just get the crowd back.
Point.
Also, yeah. Not have to fucking give a refund to these goddamn.
That's
people.
What the deal.
That's
is.
That's what the deal was.
So without a main event,
the business.
Vince McMahon has to refund people their money. So,
and this, don't tell me this was the main event.
No, it wasn't. He was just, I guess, in theory, being like, show must go on. This is the way the business works. You go in there and you keep wrestling.
But I mean, if in an NFL game a guy died, they would just cancel the game, wouldn't they?
That's
a
good think
question.
So.
I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't. You know why I don't think they would? Because they would cart him off the field and they wouldn't release that information until post game.
Gotcha.
That's my guess.
Which is what they did here. They didn't say, I mean, it was clear he was dead, but they didn't say anything until we were driving home.
I wonder if the EMT guys were real or actors.
Oh, they were real.
I know. I'm just
They, so the next match comes on and it's just like this horrible match. No one gives a shit. Everyone's just kind of looking around like, is this really going on? And I think they had three matches left. And the match after that one, same kind of thing. They lasted like 5-6 minutes. Just really
power
uneventful. Crowd's dead. No pun intended. They're literally just no energy. And then the main event was Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Undertaker of all
Damn,
people.
Damn, that's a big ass event.
Yeah.
Yeah, of all people.
So they start playing The Undertaker's music, which is just funeral bells.
Oh,
and
man.
The whole place is just like, oh, like you just felt dirty being there at that point. Just like, really? You're just going to go with this? And they start playing his funeral bell music and the lights dim down as if a dude didn't just die. And then you just see The Undertaker and Stone Cold together just walking down to the ring. And like a very apparent, like, fuck you. I know we're supposed to be enemies, but this shit's ridiculous that we have to do this. And Vince McMahon's son, Shane, is the special guest referee, whatever that shit was. And they came down and match lasted about 7 to 10 seconds.
Did it really?
They very clearly were protesting, just like, you're going to make us do this. We're going to make this look terrible. He threw Stone Cold off the ropes, and then Shane McMahon got down on all fours, and then The Undertaker pushed Stone Cold over him and just pinned him, and they just grabbed the belt and walked out of the ring.
Oh, like, even his son was protesting? He was in on it, too?
Yeah, he was
oh,
just
wow.
Like,
good
just,
for them.
They just walked out, and then lights came on, no announcement, just like, that. Oh, that was the end of the pay-per-view, and everyone was like, what the fuck is going on?
So no one lost the belt?
No one lost the belt.
Undertaker's undefeated, isn't he? Is he never? Hasn't he not? Or did he just recently lose or some weird shit?
I think that's just
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Wasn't The Undertaker a big truck?
That was, no.
I know, that was
yeah, it was.
Gravedigger.
Yeah.
Monster truck.
Monster truck, yeah, my bad.
I was like, what's a
my
big
bad.
Truck?
Damn, that's a crazy story.
Yeah, so we went home. When we were driving home, it was on one of the, 98.9 The Rock. Like, oh. Wrestler Owen Hart died tonight in the ring in Kansas City, and he fell. Investigation is starting into what caused the accident, and we were just like, holy shit, I just saw a man die.
Yeah.
Damn.
And I stopped watching wrestling after that. It kind of ruined the magic.
Yeah, I would
of
imagine.
This fake.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, yeah, that wrestling's fake. I'm like, well, I saw someone die, so that seemed pretty real.
It was pretty real.
They scripted all of it except for the death. But now people are like, oh, you got to come over and watch WrestleMania. I'm like, I haven't watched that shit in, 17 years, and I wouldn't know who any of the people are.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't think I'm going to see something that makes me go,
wow, this is crazy, huh?
I can't believe it. You've seen the epitome of crazy in fucking wrestling.
He just got up from 9 elbow drops. The insanity never stops in this league.
So yeah, that's the only time I've seen a person die.
Well, I hope it's the only time you ever see a person die.
I as well.
And we're right there, man. I just want to say this was a lot of fun, man. Thank you for coming on. And,
thanks for having me, guys.
And I wish you good health, man.
Thanks,
Jesus
man.
Jesus Christ. I hope that kidney stone something. Goes well. Yeah, and
you're low keep key that diabetes about it too. You know, you seem like you handle it.
Yeah. What can you do? Again, all this stuff, the diabetes, made my life a lot better.
Yeah.
Finding out, I think a lot of people would have issues with it. I was so sick for so long. It was just like, oh, this is great. Now I'm not sick all the time.
Yeah. And I will say, I mean, we didn't say get into it, but if you ever go to the Comedy Store, make sure it's a night that Rick Ingram is there. Because Rick is one of the, I mean, I've said this for years. I'll tell you the three best crowd comics in the business today. Ian Bagg, Tony Kameen, Rick Ingram.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, no one else really does what you three do. I mean, Tony Kameen doesn't do as much stand-up as you and Ian, but you guys, straight crowd work. I mean, of course, you have, you know, you got your...
I got some shtick that I like to do. My skits, as my aunt would say.
Tell us some of your skits. but if you can see Rick live, it's well worth it.
I'm at the Comedy Store basically every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for sure.
Yeah.
And then... throughout the week randomly.
And give them your social media and stuff one more time, too.
I'm at Rick Ingram, RickIngraham, and Rick Ingram on Facebook as well, Instagram, all that stuff.
Awesome, man.
All right, man. Thank you for
being here. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
For sure, man.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy across all social media.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 U.S.-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.